United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you for coming tonight. First topic on the agenda tonight is overview of tax levy, limit tax cap, and tax rate for municipal purposes.
Good evening. Tonight's presentation is the overview of the tax levy limit, the tax cap, and the tax rate. You'll see with this slide, you've seen it before. I usually present it when we go over the tax cap calculation and then at various times during the budget process. And what this slide, it captures the New York State tax cap limitation, the voter-approved tax levy increase, and also the tax rate increase. And looking at the first line, which is the New York State tax cap limitation, that's how we go about, that's the calculation of the New York State prescribed calculation, and every year I go through it, and it includes the consumer price index increase, any growth within the San Jose School District. It also includes any increases that for our TRS and our ERS employer contribution. Debt service is also included in the calculation. So you can see from year to year, it changes. And a lot of times when they talk about the tax cap, they always talk about the 2%. And then as you can see, that it does vary. It isn't actually 2%. And when you're looking at the tax cap calculation, it varies also from district to district because they have different variables that make up the tax cap calculation. Then the next line is the voter-approved tax levy increase. And you can see the first year, it's 2%. It goes up in 13-14, and then it drops in 14-15 to 1.18%. 15-16, 1.3, and then it goes up in 16-17, 17-18, but that's primarily due to the capital project, which is voter-approved. 0.35% in 16-17 is attributed to the capital project, and in 17-18, 0.67%. The last line is the tax rate increase, and you'll see that in 2012, when we proposed the budget, the tax levy was 2%, and then when the assessments came in, it dropped to 0.91%. 13-14, the voter-approved tax levy was 2.39, went up to 2.61, and you can see it goes, for the most part, the tax rate is either equal to or less than the proposed tax levy increase.
But it could go the other way, right?
It could go the other way, yes. So why, you can see it goes up and down. And the reason why it goes up and down, I think, is really important, is with the property assessment of the Center Ridge School District. Every fall, the school district receives from the town of Brookhaven the assessment for the school district. This information is provided, I guess, to the Office of Real Property Services, which is now called the Department of Taxation and Finance, and it lists all the exemptions within the school district and also the assessed valuation of the school district. You'll see that each year it varies. In 2012-13, it was $8.2 million. You see that it dropped. So that means in the prior year, the property assessment was higher, and therefore it drops the tax rate increase. Looking at the second year, in 2013-14, you see the property assessment went from 8.2 to less than 8.1, and you'll see that we had proposed an estimated tax levy increase of 2.39%, but because the assessment went down, the tax rate went up. And then year after year, 2014-15, the assessment went up. And it has to do with sales within the school district, new construction, things like that. And because it went up, we had proposed an increase of 1.18%, and it dropped to actually 0%, a 0% increase. 15-16, it remained, the assessment went up a little bit, not much to change the tax rate. What we had proposed, 1.3%. We remained at 1.3%. Going into 16-17, the assessment went up again. Therefore, the proposed increase of 2.34% was dropped. The tax rate was 1.97%. And again, in 17-18, the assessment went up, and it dropped the proposed 2.31% tax levy to 1.98%. And so overall, when you're looking at it, over the six-year period, the tax rate, when you factor everything in, is only 1.46%, which is pretty good.
So I think it's important, though, to just note that we don't have any ability to base our budget on these assessments.
Completely
out of our control. Exactly. Our budgets are based on percentage increase based on prior year assessments, and whatever it ends up being,
we're forced. That is true. We don't have any control over the assessment. That's why whenever we are looking at the tax levy increase, we look at, we use the same assessment from the prior year.
It's also why it's important that when we have new construction in town, specifically new construction with, either industry or, senior housing where there's not kids, the increased assessments helps everybody across the board.
Helps everybody.
And it allows us to, take a 2.31 and really only translates into across the board 1.98 mm-hmm. or a 1.18 into a 0. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions on tonight's agenda? Questions on any items on tonight's agenda only? Okay, motion to adopt the regular minutes of the regular meeting, October 18th, 2017. Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following resignations.
Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employees for a leave of absence, which is in compliance with the terms and conditions of the St. Emeritus FMLA policy.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following employees to return to service.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2017-2018 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments for the 2017-2018 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
No, I'm going to abstain on this one.
We discuss.
Unless we take out one of Sarah Sullivan, I would like to abstain.
So you're abstaining or voting no?
Well, I'm going to abstain because they're all together. Can we take it separately?
We can take it separately. I think we should discuss. The personnel matter, we discuss the exact. We can adjourn to executive session to discuss.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say no. Just because I don't.
We can still, we discussed an executive session as a personnel matter, and I think we should do that.
Yeah.
We're going to motion to adjourn to executive session. Purpose of discussing personnel matters. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion to come back into regular session. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Item 10, motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
And Sue Wicks is not a typo.
No.
That's real.
No, that is real.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following contract in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract as well as it. The established cost containment said contract and authorize the president to sign said contract.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Yeah, that contract is for explanation purposes. I'm sure somebody's going to ask or missed asking before. Is
what's that?
I knew it.
Yeah. It's just a consolidation of every MOA over the last 2 years into one kind of clear to read agreement. So you don't need 19 things. There's nothing new in that agreement.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the budget.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Did you have a question on this one?
No.
No.
Yeah. I did.
Okay. We're good or no?
Oh, I have two questions. What is for the budget transfers?
Yeah.
The BOCES transfer for $2,700.
Yes.
For 32. It's, I guess it's item number 3234.
Right. What that is? It's they had. They wanted to purchase an integrated social studies ELA curriculum.
Okay.
It was, we have a textbook code, but this was from BOCES, so we had to transfer from the textbook code to BOCES to
okay.
purchase.
For the elementary school?
Right.
Okay.
It's just textbooks.
All in favor?
Yes.
All in favor? Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the Treasurer's Report for the months of August and September 2017.
Motion. Second. Discussion. So Kyle will take me through this.
Mm-hmm.
As we are sitting here, this is dated August 31, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I look through the variances. Top line, other income to the good, $72,000. Oh, what is that? 74 is received to date, but 72.
Yeah. The explanation
good.
Is the other income that is our TAM. It's a premium on our TAM.
But that's a premium that we did not expect as a projected revenue.
Yes.
When we filled out our 307,640 when we did the budget.
That is correct.
TAM, and that's because we got a premium that we didn't expect when we negotiated that because of interest rates?
Because of interest rates and the competition between the various banks.
Right. On the expenditure line, the only variance that I see is...
The debt.
The debt. Same thing, better interest,
yes.
Lower interest. Got it. So, and I still struggle with this. We agreed to have a better projection of this that's kind of to the quarter based on every expense, and that comes in January?
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as we sit here now, to the best of your knowledge, looking through each of these line items, I mean, it's very hard to figure out what we've gotten, nothing's a percentage, but is there anything that, you know, we expect to be off? We expect not.
Not at this point, no. Not at this point.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the student activity treasurer's report for the middle school and the high school for the months of July, August, and September 2017.
Motion.
Motion.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following bid recommendation.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Motion carries unanimously. I'm just going to explain this one. So, phase 1, 2, and 2B. This is work done, contemplated by phase 2B. You'll remember if you've been at the meetings, we broke up phase 2 into an A and a B. Reason was labor rates on the island have gone up, you know, near 25% from when we initially did the bidding in 2015. And if you see, there were newspaper articles we talked about at the time we had Grillo come in around why they've gone up, and it's effectively everybody's busy. You saw Suffolk County Community College. Suffolk Community College had a bond for $16 million. Is that what it was? that when they actually went out to bid the work for their athletic department, came in at over $20 million, which is a significant increase. So what we did was we broke down phase two into two pieces with the hopes to get better rates when they're not so busy in the spring, in the fall and in the winter. And that worked. We were able to drive down the rates to a certain extent. We also, in looking at this, but the rates are still higher in for certain work, namely bathrooms, than we had initially kind of gotten the quotes back for those reasons. So what we did was we looked at very carefully the work scope again to see if we could, have haircuts a bit, whereas in necessary. And what we decided was the heating and cooling in the gym at Main Street needed to be repaired, could be repaired such that it would have a useful life of how long?
10 to 15 years.
10 to 15 years through new baffles, motor. I'm looking at you.
Control components.
Control components.
Belts, user wire.
So we upgraded everything in there versus replaced it with new.
Right.
And the sense is that was able to save us.
Correct, because the heater ventilators are basically boxes with motors and coils in them.
Right.
That's all they are. So why are you going to replace a metal box and pay for all that labor to tear it out and put it back in when it's just as easy to refurbish the controls, clean the coils?
And the difference in cost for the...
It's about $248,000.
$248,000 difference.
Saved to the district.
So some of that was able to be allocated to overages for the bathroom, overages for phase two. And then the second substantive change that we made, we were going to, if you walk down the main hall in Clayton, make a left, make a right, where the parent-child homeroom is now, we were going to build a wall and make another classroom there. And at the time we looked at this, the usage of the room utilization at the Clayton was near 100%, if not 100%. And currently, room utilization with five open rooms.
Yes, sir. So we have currently five open rooms at the elementary.
So we've decided to do, instead of incurring a significant charge, what was the cost to do that exactly?
The cost was roughly, I believe, $260,000.
So instead of the $260,000, we're doing, upgrading a room that is, we're upgrading an additional room in connection to painting and lights.
Refurbishing,
that's the word I was looking for. And replace, I'm just looking for the quote here. Doors, do we have the doors quote on here?
No, we do not. The doors are something extra that we might be able to do,
okay,
depending on the savings that's realized at the end of phase 2B.
So the savings, our hope is between cutting back on the work, but still getting the effective substance of what we need, we have enough savings that we can replace the doors in the main hall, which are in need of replacement, but one of those things that we had kind of cut at the last level. Do we approve this one already?
Yes.
Okay. Keep going.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following construction program change order.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendations of the Committees on Special Education and Preschool Special Education for the month of October for the 2017-2018 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the St. George's Board of Education approves the DECA Club to go to Six Flags Great Adventure Business and Marketing Day in New Jersey on May 23rd, 2018.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Any cost to the district or has this paid for?
Except for substitutes.
Substitutes for the district for the DECA?
For the advisors.
The advisors.
And the,
and the students pay for this or it comes out of the DECA budget or what?
Correct.
Which one?
Same thing. It comes out of the DECA budgets and fundraising. Right?
Motion.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education conducts a third reading of the following policies and subsequently moves to adopt the policies.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following individual for the 2017-2018 committee.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Any questions or comments from the community on items not on tonight's agenda?
I was looking at a posting on OLAS, and I was a little taken back just because of the length of the posting. Director of Guidance, Grant Writing, and Dean of Students. It was an interesting posting because you go from a SBL to an SDL, or an SDL to an SBL, but then you also have to write grants. So it's almost like what is the purpose or the true meaning of that position, and how is one going to even manage that position to meet all the demands or meet or expectation was first my thought, because I go, man, I got a perfect person, he's ready to go, then I showed him the rest. So, like, to me, I was a little...
So it's a good question. I mean, it's a great question. I would say that currently, all of those things...
Are needs.
Are what?
Needs.
Are needs, and are things that are being managed by, or managed by, or could be better managed by, the team that we've got, right? So... Currently, we don't have a director of guidance. We have four guidance counselors who do a good job. But one of the things that we've talked a lot about, and if you've been here, you've seen them come in and present, how do we grow guidance? How do we take it to the next level? I think it's an extremely important thing. How do we get our kids to, you know, go to more colleges? How do we get them ready to go to more colleges, start to think about where they want to go and what they want to do, and really frame the whole program? How do we make sure that we're meeting with kids from K through 12?
Well, I agree with that. That I know.
And that, so that, one of our board goals was, if you look at the goals at the beginning, we need to figure this out.
Yeah.
So we said, you know, one of the ways we can do that is to have somebody really drive this. Somebody, whether it be an administrator or somebody that's been, you know, in guidance previously that knows what they can do and help drive that structure. You know, very important.
Yeah.
And then we said, well,
it's a full-time job.
Well, it is, but we don't have somebody doing that. You're right.
That in itself is a job that, because it's K through 12, it's not just high school.
Yep.
It's K through 12 to make sure everything is sequenced so the kids are progressing at some type of level that by the time they exit us, it's from kindergarten to 12. So that's a full-time job.
I agree with you.
And then they go, so imagine being in the middle of it, and then that person now has to go over and be like, hold on, I have to deal with discipline. And they will go to the middle school. To me, like, just the process of the thought of it, which it's phenomenal, I love the idea, to the point that it's almost like, how does one attain all that? And then in the meantime, grant writing's no joke.
If
you win a grant, it's everybody sitting here has to take over that grant and make sure that it's being monitored. So that person that writes that grant and wins it, which would be that individual, has to oversee that entire grant. They can't just let it be, because they have to report back to whoever it's received. If you look at Pell Grants and the history of them, they stopped giving them out. $410,000 with West Babylon. That Pell Grant was the last one because it became so big for the district where they almost turned it away. And I'm not saying we'll go
so
that
way. Right. You're right that grant writing is an enormous thing. You don't have somebody dedicated to oversee that now, and the people that we have, you know, Dean of Discipline. Discipline at the middle school. Our middle school principal is doing that now. The amount of time that she spends doing that she could otherwise spend evaluating teachers, guiding instruction to teachers, that she could spend thinking about. So if we were in a big district and we could spend for three positions, maybe these would be the three, grant writer, dean, maybe not guidance.
Well,
but we
can. You could go with options. Maybe there's an option of taking the two positions that would come from the elementary school. Maybe one of those people, someone moved down, someone became a part-time special assignment dean of students in the middle school. I'm just saying that the wheels
turn. The teacher positions that
you had, the two teachers that were cut last year.
Right.
Right? If you think about it, sitting here, I never heard anything about a director of guidance. Do I agree? Yes, you need a director of guidance.
Sure.
I think it's huge. Okay, especially if you're looking to get kids into college and they want to have that response. Dean of discipline? Absolutely. I think it's hard to be the bearer of both as a principal, and you need that. But it's almost like the foresight of it, in a sense, was held back, because if you can take one of those teachers, move them around, which supposedly were really good, I don't know much about them, but I heard great things. maybe there was someone in that middle school that wants to take that quasi-administrative position and head into a dean.
So and now you've got a director of guidance. Administrator position.
It's an SDL and an SBL. You have a school district leader position mixed with an S school building leader position, which is rare.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, so to move a team, effectively we've done what you said, but while not necessarily the person, because we believe the skills are different, we think that to be that SDL, the director of guidance for the district, is an administrator position, you know, such that they're overseeing guidance counselors who are in the teacher's unit. So they couldn't be a teacher overseeing.
Well, you're taking level. A guidance counselor's role is the one to facilitate, like, social emotional.
Yeah.
When you mix in a dean to that role, the disassociation could happen very quickly. So because if I get in trouble from you in middle school and you become a guidance counselor that I oversee, it's almost like counteracting what the role of a true guidance counselor is.
But they got the role, and we've talked about this, so you're right. The role, though, is a director of guidance. So the intent is that the person will spend a portion of their time, and we spent a lot of time talking about what portion, overseeing the four guidance counselors that we've got, right? And really structuring the program. They'll spend a portion of time managing the students on the discipline side. So you're right. It's tough if they were doing discipline and then, you know, I just suspended you, but now tomorrow, we're going to go to college. That's a tough conversation. But that's not really the conversation. Yeah. It's, you know.
It'd just be a shame. It'd be a shame to sit there and put the position in, but then all of a sudden it's like you're not going to get the full effect of that director of guidance. You know, I look at our director of guidance right now. It's a small district, right? She's all over the map. Like, there's not enough time. If I said to her, go deal with discipline, good luck.
You're right. What you're saying is right, and we spent a lot of time talking about, do we want to break up? In a perfect world, we would do what you're saying. We would have one person as a director of guidance to help us really bring, you know, we've looked at other schools, we've looked at Garden City, and so I asked, how are they doing it? What are they doing to get us there? And then we would say, well, wait a minute. We've looked at our middle school principal, and the amount of time she spends on low-level discipline duties is ridiculous. We would have somebody there to help, but we can't. I mean, the funds, when you see the budget, you've been here.
Yeah. No, I get you want her to enhance the curriculum. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a hard line to have someone go from an SDL dealing with the district and then all of a sudden running over because they're in the middle of a district-level meeting and then they have to deal with the discipline. And that's not even discipline. When you're a dean of students, it's academic. Mm-hmm. It's behavioral. Mm-hmm. It's social-emotional. It's the kid that something had a breakdown. There's so much more to that position that meets the eye that, you know, but again, think about it. This wasn't on the table last year, right? From me sitting in here, I've never heard it on the table. So the money came from somewhere, wherever it is. I'm not questioning that. I care less. I want more people. I'm pro-teacher. Like, to me, I'm looking at it saying, okay, we lost two teachers that were supposedly really good. Now, all of a sudden, we're creating this position, but yet we're creating three checkoff lists, and, you know, it's prerogatives based on, you know, three different agendas, in a sense, which is okay, but not that. It's a very hard position.
Yeah. What I would say is, you know, and I know in your particular building, your assistant principal does, correct?
Yeah.
And if you look in your building and your assistant principal and looked at their responsibilities,
it's huge.
How big is it?
It's huge.
What are they responsible for?
Most of the time now, it's been broken off. We have a testing coordinator that gets like a little stipend, so they even took that off the table for him.
But he used to be the testing coordinator. Go ahead.
Yeah. But that's gone. So now it's just, now they're dealing with just discipline most of the time. And then the 504s.
Okay, so the charge of 504s, yeah. Right? Yeah. District-wide or building-wide?
Not a building.
Okay, so you got discipline.
What and else? 504s.
Field trips?
No.
Nothing with field trips? Extracurricular activities?
No.
No clubs?
No.
What else?
Really,
because usually assistant principals.
No,
tell me about it. Usually assistant principals.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
Usually you find assistant principals, and I know I was one for, you know, 12 years.
Yeah.
My job responsibilities were incredible.
Yeah.
Mr. Soto was an assistant principal. Mr. Gold, assistant principal. I'm sure Mr. Maxwell back there could talk about his assistant principal at his school or at her, right?
Two.
And if you look at their responsibilities, it is huge. In this district, with this title, I think one thing that occurred is the seriousness of these specific areas from the board over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
It has been loud and clear, and these are the three areas.
So we've looked. So to that point, we've looked, and to your point about the teachers, where can we put aside who the individuals are?
I don't even know the
The point is,
I look at systems.
But you're right. So what we've done is, in each case, we've said, listen, we've got these individual teachers. What are the class sizes? What can we do? Where if the classes increase because of enrollment decreases and we cut out one teacher, will there be a significant impact to the kids? Yes or no? So we had that conversation a bunch of times. And then we said, wow, we've determined that the impact of having 18, 19 kids, 20 kids in a class versus 16 is not enormous. Yes, fewer is better, but
that's fine.
So we could save $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 per teacher, right? All in, fully loaded teacher health pension, right?
Figure 240.
Right.
Not where the money came from, though.
Not where the money came from.
Those teachers, I just want to make sure you're clear that those, we put them in spots. Like, we find AIS.
They're both so
good. They're quality teachers. One is.
Well, you think about it. When I sat in curriculum advisory, you have a science wing being developed, yet you don't have anybody staffing a science area.
Sure.
Yet, at the moment.
Right.
Might be wrong.
And
then we have Fless on the conversation. You know, when we're starting to talk about enhancement, and we're starting to talk about all this stuff, you know, the push for college is great. I get it.
But it has to start at the bottom.
And when you start to take from the bottom, you know, that's my concern.
You're exactly right. So what we've then done is we've looked at, you know, we looked at custodial and grounds. And there were two people that were doing historically a job. One managing grounds and custodians, one managing maintenance. So we said, is there savings to be achieved here? Can we have one person do this job? And we spent a lot of time thinking about it, a lot of time talking about it, and we said, wow, we can. We can have one person do this job, and we can save another $100,000. Well, what could we do with that money? Would we be better off, perhaps, in having one person do each? Maybe, but if we could take that money and redeploy it to guidance or to a deep, we just don't have. What you're saying is right. Can we do early language?
We agree. We all agree.
We agree.
No,
I'm not. It's just three separate spots.
I'm not saying it in a negative. But the reality is when I look at certain things, it's like us. We put a dual language person and an ENL person in a position. And when we took that position, it's too big for one person to take on. You're almost doing the same exact thing, and I spoke up the same way to my union about it because I'm like, this person's going to fail. There's no freaking way. There's no way.
So,
right? Like, so you look at it. My concern is that director of guidance obviously has been on the block for a while. You put that person in, they can help sequence everything K-12, and they can team up with your curriculum instruction. Totally get it. When you mix the two between a guidance and a dean, it's just not a natural progression. That's an AP and a dean. That matters. But a guidance counselor is there to deal with kids on a different basis, even if they're the director of guidance.
It's not a guidance counselor.
Well, even if it's a director of guidance, they're still in that area, in that realm. So it's like a contradictory.
The assistant principal who oversees guidance, which many of them do.
You're going to see them because they're going to be doing trips to colleges. I'm sure that director of guidance is going to be sitting there with her. Big banner.
The things you're saying are exactly right and exactly what we all discussed. I've very clearly in discussion said, what percentage of the time, guidance is a key focus. We all said, what percentage of the time are they going to spend? How can we break it up? In a perfect world, what you're saying is having two people or perhaps three plus language lower is exactly what we would do. But then what happens is you get to the budget time and you say, well, we've done these things, but now where are we going to save?
Oh, I don't disagree. But amen, I'm sitting from last year to this year, and now all of a sudden I see the position. So think about it.
Yeah. Yep.
Think about the outside perspective. Right. Numbers fly in my head just as fast.
Yeah.
So I can care less about numbers. Spend more. Right? I'll say it on the soccer field. My point is that I don't want to see positions in which we're not going to get the best bang for our buck.
And that's where I think charge administration, which is the conversations that we have with ensuring that we get the best bang for our buck. And if there is a ball and it's a turn.
So what happens if this person can't handle doing both? Does the person become the weak link? Or do they become, okay, we need to reevaluate?
That's what you do. What you do in any situation is if you have a great position player, and that person is perhaps not playing the best that they can in that position, you evaluate. Can we do differently? Is it the person? Or have we overloaded? To use your example, it's not something we've discussed. I'm just using your example. Yeah. Are the dean duties too much? Can we figure out something else there? Right? The focus is guidance. Can we figure out something else for the dean duties? But I think doing it all at once breaks the budget, and then you start to say, what electives can we cut? Where else can we cut to pay for that?
Oh, nowhere.
Nowhere. And that's the balance.
And remember, it's trying to, like Josh said, It's trying to create an opportunity for others to do other things that maybe we feel as an administration, and the number one thing is instruction. And Ms. Reggio, right?
The three things I already have heard. Like, I already know where those three angles are coming from.
Yeah, so the goal is, remember, she's doing, we talk about overloaded. Somebody's doing that now. You know, it's not like, you know, we're
totally understand that.
Yeah, so the person we feel is direction could go into instruction.
When you think about middle school age, right now, we just, you know, you got kids vaping all over the map. That includes middle school kids. You could spend 4 hours just dealing with parent stuff on that. So, I mean, like, the middle school dean, I totally understand. Right. I think it's a valuable position because you have the kids at a critical state. Those kids are at a critical state where they can go left, right, or center. Right. So I totally understand that. And that job in itself, you might look at down the road and say, well, this is a full-time position. And unfortunately, I get it. We're going to say, well, show us the data. But the reality is, it's going to be it is a full-time position when someone's doing a dean of position the right way. Right. Because that's when we start looking at academics. And when those academics are high because that dean is showing all that effort into there, their ninth grade year becomes better, their 10th grade year becomes better, and their senior year becomes better. And guess what happens to college? You know, the college admissions, it goes up. So, I mean, like, I get it. I was just, you know, to me, I was just trying to figure out, you know, I think I was like, what? It's like, it's I have him, I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, I got a guy that's like a 20-year-plus vet. And then I'm like, and
he just conversation that you're raising, you know, numerous times in kind of thinking about, you know, is this something that we can do?
You Robin know? Said everything you said several times.
It's
it's been her main point with
I don't get invited to a session. But I get it. I just, you know, to me, I just want to make, you know, again, it's almost like looking in a mirror, and I get it, but you just want to make sure that, you know, from our side, I just want to make sure that it's at least out there, you know. And listen, if whoever the person is, we're going to help them as best as we can as a community, obviously, but you just want to make sure that when we're going with that rhythm, that the position doesn't become too overwhelming, and then we get nothing.
Yep. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have any questions on the items on the agenda tonight? Great. Next Board of Education meeting will be on November 15, 2017 at 7:30 here in the district office. Thank you for coming. Motion to adjourn to executive session for purposes of discussing other matters disclosed which result in unwarranted invasion of personal privacy. Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.